Sports Radio 1310. The Ticket.
It's a Ticket flashback. 10 years of Ticket history, brought to you by Tanqueray 10 on Sports Radio 1310. The Ticket.
2000.
Internet billionaire and Mavs fan Mark Cuban bought the team on January 14th, 2000. The Mavs went 31-19 after Cuban purchased the club and finished the season at 40-42. Stars went to the Stanley Cup Finals for the second straight year. For the first time in franchise history, they lost in six games to the New Jersey Devils. The Rangers began the first of four straight losing seasons and last place finishes in the West with a 71-91 record. On December 11, 2000, Texas gave free agent Alex Rodriguez a $252 million deal over 10 years. Cowboys ended the Chan Gailey era with a 27-10 first-round playoff loss to the Vikings on January 9, 2000. Defensive coordinator Dave Campbell became the Cowboys' fifth head coach on January 26, 2000. The great Tom Landry died at the age of 75 from leukemia on February 13th. Michael Irvin ended his 12 years as a Cowboy on July 11th. In August, he was arrested for drug possession in a Dallas apartment. Rams beat the Titans 23-16 in the Super Bowl. The Yankees won another World Series by stopping the Mets in five games. The Lakers began a run of three straight titles under Phil Jackson with a six-game win over the Pacers. Michigan State won the NCAA basketball title, and Oklahoma was 13-0 in winning the NCAA football championship. George W. Bush won the presidency in an automatic recount in Florida on December 12th. A Concorde crash killed 113 near Paris on July 25th, 2000. A terrorist attack on the U.S. Navy destroyer Cole in Yemen killed U.S. sailors on October 12th. Richard Hatch was the first survivor and walked off an island in the South China Sea with a million. The I Love You virus disrupted computers worldwide on May 14th. Deaths include Steve Allen, Alec Guinness, Charles Schultz, Walter Matthau, Sir John Gielgud, and Jason Robards. The year was 2000, and Chris Arnold left the Ticket. Norm Hitzkus arrived in January. A hot spot started on night.
Coming up again at 6:50, it's another Ticket flashback to the year 2001. Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket is 10.
Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
The sprawling cities of New England and Carolina will battle it out in Super Bowl 38 in Houston. And we'll be there live beginning Monday from the Musers to the Hardline. Brought to you by Majestic Liquors, Bobcat, and Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Sports Radio 1310.
We're back.
Double
tree.
Ah, yes.
We're back.
All right, it is here on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Let's start drinking.
It is the Hardline. It is Dunham & Miller. It is Gordo. And we are here at the Hard Rock visiting with the first owner of The Ticket, Spence Kendrick. Hi, Spencer.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Hey.
Having fun with sports.
Hello. There we go.
All right, there we go. Now, Spencer has brought up some very fascinating early Ticket artifacts. In fact, this is stuff that I don't know if you boys saw this. Maybe you guys did, but I guarantee you most of those who are at the station now have no idea of this story, let alone have seen what he's got.
Which, once again, I mean, this is something that, could have taken everybody in a complete different direction.
Right.
The radio station and everything, just one little decision, you know, could have just gone off in a totally different direction.
Now, I didn't know this, and I think it's kind of funny to imagine how different this party would be tonight if the original, that poster that you showed me, if that's what we had become.
Yeah. Because, see, at the time, it was Rhines and Spence and Jeff Dunbar that were working on everything. Because when we started up, you had to start everything. I mean,
everything.
We didn't have a name. We didn't have any kind of identity or nothing.
Which brought us around to the name. I knew we had to cross that bridge somewhere along the line, and I was giving it some thought, not really getting anywhere. And one night in 1993, in fact, it was on my birthday of 1993.
I had a nocturnal emission.
You just mic off time?
Yeah, we may have to go mic off. Although I did enjoy that one.
Spence, every once in a while we have to go mic off. So I turned over to Grego.
Which we were not right, sleeping
on,
together.
No. I want to hear. So one night in 1993.
Yes. I'm having birthday dinner with my wife. We were at Papa Do. And I say to her, I've got to come up with a name for this thing. And we start kicking around various ideas. And, you know, yeah, at that time, you had the Fan in New York. We knew about that. Not too terribly long before that, we'd been up in Chicago, where we had heard the Score. And I started thinking, think about things that are germane to any sport. I mean, something that is common to any sport. And she says, well, to get into any sport, you've got to have a ticket. What about the ticket? And I said,
That'll never work. That'll never work.
No, I didn't.
Get out of my face.
I liked it immediately, and I brought it to Spence and Jeff the next day, and they both liked it. So we rolled with that for a while, but then we got an ad agency up in New York involved.
Right.
Okay, well, why don't you pick up the story from here?
A friend of mine's father ran a large ad agency in New York. And I was telling him about what we were doing, and he told his father, and his father got all excited about something like that, and he wanted me to come up, and he wanted to make a presentation. So I flew up to New York and sat down, and it was me and about six guys from this ad agency, and they had the full-blown, it wasn't PowerPoint because they didn't have it at the time, but full-blown softboard and things like that.
I think there was any generic... White businessmen speak.
Oh, yes.
But they came out and gave their history, and these guys had coined the phrase, I want my MTV, and they were real high profile. And they came out, and they had the perfect name for a sports station. And
this is what we could have been celebrating tonight.
Yes, we could have been celebrating.
Oh, yeah.
K-O-O-K, 1310 on your dial.
The kook. For the sports nut. See?
And look at this. Look at that guy.
I'm a sports kook. Wearing a t-shirt.
I remember you guys showed this to me at one of our lunches.
I remember seeing it.
And I just went, yeah, that looks great.
Yeah.
Real good.
And they had talked so positively about it on the flight back. I was pumped about it and brought it in to everyone. And everyone looked at me like, you've got to be kidding me. So we went back to the ticket. So give Renee credit for that.
Yeah, and, you know, we had dalliances with a couple other things, but we always just kept coming back to the ticket. And we finally reached a point where we said, look, we've got enough other stuff to worry about with this thing. Let's commit to the ticket and go from there. And we did.
And who designed the logo? Because we still basically have the same logo.
I had friends of mine that worked for GSD&M out of Austin.
They're the people that did the Texas Lotto, right?
Yeah. Because and they do Southwest Airlines, but these guys, I was talking to them, trying to get some ideas, and they pretty much pro bono gave us a whole bunch of designs. We had a script and I was trying to find the old logo, different logos. I couldn't find it. It's in a file somewhere. But the ticket, it's pretty ubiquitous.
Because we had some pretty good stuff in the very beginning. Your wife's worst nightmare. I mean, we had that.
The jockstrap billboard.
That was so great.
How many complaints did you get on the jockstrap?
Oh, hundreds.
Well, we took it down.
Well, we did take it down. Whatever happened to that?
We still got it.
We tore it up. Every ticket stuck.
I mean,
These are the first billboards you'd see on the highway.
Spence, have you seen the new one where it's your second wife's worst nightmare?
You boys want to look at these?
That's genius.
In the first year of the ticket, because we've talked about how the station has morphed in 10 years to where we say stuff now, words now, subject matter now, that in the first year would have got us fired. How many complaints did you guys get in that first year when we'd say something a little risque?
Occasionally you'd get a phone call from somebody. I think that most people, after they started listening, understood that it wasn't exactly a hardcore nuts and bolts, X's and O's kind of deal. So, but occasionally somebody would set somebody off. Pretty,
mainly the hard line.
Me.
Gordon.
Gordon.
But
yeah, always Gordon.
He's always Gordon.
But not enough to make you think, whoa, we got to do something here?
No, okay.
But, you know, I still keep going back to the fact of how we kept this a secret. Because it was basically a secret from July of 93.
And you guys told us to.
Yeah.
You said, don't tell anybody.
And everybody did. I mean, there wasn't any leak at all. But when it was finally leaked that there was going to be a sports station, an all-sports station, that's when the speculation in our little circle that Reiner and George and Craig and I were in was like, okay, who's going to be on this? And everybody knew. Everybody, hey, listen, I know who's going to be on there. Look, they're going to hire Revo, and they're going to get Jim Dent. And here it is. And so here's me and Reiner and Junior and George. We knew we were in. We knew it was us. And so we'd sit here and listen to these people. Like yeah, you know, they're
those in the know would come up and say, boy, I've got the whole lineup.
I've got everything.
Got
and we're
good.
Sitting
Let's
there, and we knew the whole thing. But the funny part was when it finally got out exactly where the what the lineup was going to be, and it was Bayless that leaked it. You know, yeah. Skip's the one that leaked it. And they're like, Craig Miller? Mike Reiner? Greg Williams? Who are these guys? Why? Yeah. And then everybody started getting pissed because they weren't in on it.
I hate you.
And that's how a lot of guys in the media turned on the ticket before we went on the air.
Exactly. Because they weren't in on it.
They wanted us to fail.
And I still think that's how it is. You know, it was 93, and it was Halloween night. The Cowboys were playing a Monday night game in Philadelphia. Well, Coop had already been hired. So Coop was going to work afternoons. So, and he, at the time, he was working for WIP in Philadelphia. So Junior and I went up there to, made the trip for BAP and KRLD, and we got Coop, and Coop met us at our hotel. Remember that? We got in the hotel, and we were just yucking it up, just loving it. And the funny part was is that Coop was having Brad Sham over for dinner.
Take the sign out of the
He had and he had his house for sale, and so Coop went out there, and it was cold and it was rainy, and Coop had to pull the sign out of his yard because he didn't want Brad to see it.
And he had to take Brad in through the back door so he wouldn't see the lockbox on the front door.
Yeah. And so here's Coop overthinking everything. And still to this day, I don't know how we kept that secret. But, I mean, it was a secret for a good 3 months.
Hey, it was not easy in a business where people talk.
No. And, you know, we were constantly just shooting it down.
Remember when Galloway and Grego drove to Waco for some Ducks Unlimited convention?
Oh, yeah.
And Galloway goes, Grego, who do you think's on this all-sports station? Do you have any idea? And Grego just started pouring sweat. But didn't say anything to where he wouldn't be lying to
him. Well, I know, Mr. Randy.
That was, you know what? That's pretty much the way it was.
And he goes, if Junior Miller knew something, would he tell you?
And I said, yes, he would tell me.
And that's all you said.
And that's all I said. And all he had to do was ask the question, well, has he told you anything?
Right.
And if he would have asked me that, I'd have spilled the beans. I wouldn't have lied to him. But he never asked that. But then when he found out that I was going over there, the Cowboys had played Green Bay. And he cussed me worse than I've ever been cussed in my whole life.
Why?
Because he thought I lied to him.
Oh.
Which basically, technically, I didn't lie to him, but I certainly didn't tell him the whole truth.
A live omission.
Right.
So it was...
He could have just looked at the puddle of sweat you had to have been sitting in.
You're melting like the Wicked Witch.
I mean, I was just like... I mean, I was like a sprinkler. I was just spewing sweat. You know, because at the time, I mean, everybody... And he was giving me the same... Well, you know, I know Revo's going to go over there. They're going to approach him. And I'm pretty sure Jim Dent's going to go over there and just start throwing out all these names.
Yeah, the usual suspects.
To which they were never considered.
No.
You know, Spence is not the only first owner up here on this stage. All of you guys had a little ownership in the ticket.
You know what? I wanted to tell that story. Because when we were about to go in there, and I don't know if Spence wants us out, but if you don't, too bad. I'm telling it anyway.
Okay.
Because I love this. But at the time, we were over at your office on Gaston. And like I was telling all these guys, Spence, you know, Ryan's knew what was going on. It's on, it's off, it's on. But he never told us. So we didn't know. And we just thought, oh, well, you know, it's not going to happen, you know, the 1st of December. You know, we'll get on when we get on. I mean, never did we know that it might not happen. Just didn't know that. And so I'll never forget you telling us that one day. Said, you know, we're going to get on. I'm just not sure when. And I've got to raise some more money. I've got to do that. But when I do, you guys are going to have a part of this. You remember telling us that?
Yeah.
You guys are going to have a part. You never mentioned it again. That was never brought up. You never told us anything about it. You know, you just said that, hey, you guys are going to be a part of it. And then I'll never forget after the sale went down, you know, it's probably 3 or 4 months later, all of a sudden, I'm handed a check. And a pretty nice check.
$5 million.
A real nice check. And, you know, you've never said anything to us about that. And we all, when you sold it, you know, we all got a piece of the action. I'll never forget that.
That was very nice, very grateful.
Certainly didn't have to do. You know what? I didn't own any part of it, and I also got a check. And I remember that meant so much to me. I swear it's true. I got a $250 check, and
Well, I was really.
Oh, you're not kidding? You really did?
No, we gave everybody.
Well, that was an accounting mistake, and he wants that money back.
That's why I'm here.
Well, thanks for taking the risk, because there's a lot of people that said you were crazy, and everyone associated with the station.
Everybody, thanks Spence Kendrick, please.
Or blame Spence for all this.
That's right, blame him. Spencer, great to see you today. We appreciate
you guys
coming down.
Enjoyed it.
All right. Thanks, Spence. It is 6:13 coming up next. Oh, my gosh. We visit with, well, what we're going to do next is find out what things were like from the side of the hated right bastards when we visit with Dan Bennett next.